This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. More than 8,000 children experience homelessness in Cincinnati and Northern Kentucky each year. And each summer, the nonprofit organization Upspring holds a day camp called Summer 360 for dozens of those kids between the ages of 5 and 14. The goal is to provide academic enrichment, meals, and field trips. This summer, the Summer 360 campers also get visits from pediatric residents at Cincinnati Children's Hospital Medical Center to provide health screenings to determine whether the kids have gaps in their medical care and to connect the children and their families with the care they need. Joining me to discuss Upspring's Summer 360 and the health screenings are Katie Jensen, Upspring's Development and Marketing Director. Welcome, Katie.
Thank you.
Dr. Elizabeth Lendrum, a pediatric chief resident at Cincinnati Children's Hospital Medical Center. Thank you so much for being here, Dr. Lendrum.
Thank you so much for having us.
And Dr. Nick de Blasio, medical director of pediatric primary care in the Division of General and Community Pediatrics at Cincinnati Children's Hospital Medical Center. Welcome, Dr. de Blasio.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you all so much for being here. You can join the conversation, too, by calling 513-419-7100 or emailing talk at wvxu.org. So, Katie, I want to start with you. I talked a little bit about Upspring and Summer 360. How long have these camps been going on, and how many kids are you all serving this summer?
Yeah, thank you for asking. So this is actually our 25th year of hosting a summer camp for children experiencing homelessness. Yeah, we it started as a one-week camp years ago, and it's really grown into what it is today. We serve over 120 kids each year at this camp. That's across our two locations in Northern Kentucky and Cincinnati.
That's fantastic. And I know you in the past, because I've done some reporting on Upspring in the past and these summer camps, I know you've had vision screenings that have been part of the camp in the past. Tell us a little bit more about what these broader health screenings mean to the kids and the families who are part of your camps.
Yeah, absolutely. These screenings really are able to, as you sort of said, identify these gaps in their coverage. Even if our kids have coverage, they may not necessarily be going regularly to see the doctor. Their parents may not know that they have hearing issues or vision issues or whatever else might be going on with them. So this is a really great opportunity to meet them where they're at and, start to create a plan.
And Dr. Lendrum, talk to us about what was the inspiration for this initiative that you all have developed at Cincinnati Children's.
Yeah, absolutely. So as a pediatric resident training at Cincinnati Children's, I really started to discover early that there are just lots of children experiencing homelessness in Cincinnati. And I was caring for a lot of those patients in my clinics and in the hospital as well. And I noticed there were just lots of gaps to their comprehensive care. So maybe they didn't have transportation, so they couldn't make it to appointments. Maybe their nutrition was compromised because of food insecurity or housing instability. So I noticed these gaps, and I recognized Upspring in the community and really wanted to get involved. So for the past 2 years now, I've been a young professional board member with Upspring. And through that time, some residents and I came up with an idea that maybe we can bring what's like a health initiative to the camp to try to bridge some of these gaps. And so I've been working with Dr. de Blasio, Dr. Anita Shaw, and some other residents at Cincinnati Children's to come up with this health initiative.
Yeah. And tell us a little bit more about some of the health concerns that the children have. I mean, you talked about gaps in care, food insecurity, but I'd imagine there are also possibly dental problems, vaccinations that are missing, mental health issues. Walk us through some of the problems that the kids can have because of their experience with homelessness or housing insecurity.
Yeah, absolutely. So we see a lot of issues with nutrition. Preventative dental care and lack of is another issue as well. Lots of mental health problems, like you mentioned. And then just not making it to appointments, so not staying up with vaccinations and other chronic illnesses like asthma, for example, that they may have.
Mm-hmm. So I know you just started the screenings earlier this week. How have they been going so far?
They went great. We were able to service quite a few kids at our Cincinnati camp this past week. So children received fluoride for their teeth during the camp. We had vision and hearing screens as well. We were able to update some children on vaccines, including the COVID vaccine, which was really great. We did vital screens as well, height, weight. And then part of our goal with this is to see if we can continue this long-term at the camp as well.
Yeah. So Dr. de Blasio, talk to us about why is it so important that these kids and their families get this kind of care and make these connections with healthcare professionals?
So what we have found in general is when you have these, issues with vision and hearing, if those issues are not detected, they can go on to, really cause academic problems for a lot of their kids and even just quality of life. You know, if you are having blurry vision or you can't, hear what's being said, it can obviously really impact quality of life and your education, just kind of school performance as well. We also see a lot of kids, who don't have access to really good dental care. So what we try to do in general is do good preventive care with not only education around dental hygiene, but also provide fluoride varnish, which really helps keep the teeth, strong and healthy. I think as, a pediatrician, I think one of the things that we're all super passionate about is keeping our kids up to date on vaccinations. So for kids who may have had issues with transportation, et cetera, not able to make appointments, it's so important to keep them up to date on vaccines. And what this has provided is an opportunity for us to keep our kids up to date on vaccines, and as Liz mentioned, also to be able to do the COVID vaccine as well, which has been super important to just protect our kids and our community as well.
Sure. So how much of this is teaching kids to be their own health advocates, too? Is that an important part of this whole thing?
So I'm going to let Liz and the other residents, Sage Kamara and Krista Peterson, have worked really hard on developing an educational curriculum to talk about a lot of these important topics. I will defer to Liz
on
that.
Fair enough. Thanks. So another component of this health initiative is our educational piece. And so that's actually led by residents and medical students. And a couple of different topics that we're covering with campers at the camp are mental health, focusing on emotions, dental hygiene. We also provide a dental hygiene packet, including a toothbrush and floss and toothpaste to kids. And then we focus a little bit on nutrition and physical activity. So that part of the camp involves a healthy recipe for children to try as well. And like you said, we are really trying to encourage children to kind of take this and promote their own health as well. So we want to encourage that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Katie, what are you hearing from the campers, from their families about? I mean, this is really, it seems like an extra layer of support that you've been able to add on to the camp this year. What kind of feedback are you getting?
Yeah, well, most of the kids are concerned. Their first question is, am I going to get a shot today? and for most of them, we were able to say no. the parents are really, excited to have this opportunity, something, they don't have to, like we said, arrange transportation, take time out of their schedules, try to figure out something. Their daily lives are things that we can't possibly imagine, mm-hmm. where to us it seems easy to schedule a doctor's appointment. It just doesn't work that way for them. So to be able to, meet them where they're at, it's really been a great help for the families that we serve.
Well, I can imagine. I mean, I was, when my kids were little, I totally was privileged to have a job where I could take time off and had paid time off, and it was still so difficult to schedule those doctor's appointments in a way that didn't interfere with work, and that, I can imagine that's a huge support. The kids, when they find out they're not getting a shot, have you heard much from them in terms of learning to be their own health advocates? And do you get a sense that they're kind of being empowered through all this?
Yeah, I really saw that come through in the educational piece that Liz was just talking about. Things like, they were creating little models of mouths with marshmallows. And that was a big hit.
Yeah.
and things like, going through with the older kids, okay, what do we need to do to stay healthy? You need to eat 5 fruits and vegetables. You need to drink water. And they're, really active participants in that. They know and understand, we need to play outside for 60 minutes a day, that sort of thing. And they really were excited to engage with the residents in that sort of work.
So, Katie, tell us more about the goals of the camp, because, I mentioned that now you've got this terrific health component, you have academic enrichment, and you have these field trips. What are the overall goals? What is the idea that you're trying to provide for these kids each summer?
Yeah, so our overall goals with that Spring Summer 360 are first to boost these kids up academically, bring them back to a level where their peers are at. They call it the summer slide, where we've all seen seen it with their own kids, mm-hmm. or over the summer, you just kind of lose some of that learning that you had over the school year. And for the population we serve, that is magnified. They're starting off at a lower level of education as well, so to really try to bring them back up so that they can be on equal footing with their peers in the fall when they come back to school. That's first and foremost what we do, and we really focus on math and literacy for that piece. Separately, we also focus on enrichment and social-emotional well-being. That's a huge component of it as well. Because we all know, you know, if you don't feel good, if you don't feel hopeful and happy and excited, then you're not going to do well in school. So we see over 90% of our kids improving in those areas over the summer. And then the field trips, as you mentioned, and the enrichment piece, that is, you know, it's fun. It keeps the kids engaged in camp. But what it's really about is letting our kids have these normal childhood experiences. It's taking the kids to Kings Island so that when they, again, they go back to school in the fall and they can say, oh, yeah, I rode the beast. Like, mm-hmm. and they can connect with their friends who had these opportunities that our kids wouldn't otherwise have.
Yeah. And I imagine that feeds into mental health and self-confidence and, you know, you mentioned the learning loss. I mean, a lot of these kids are going to multiple schools throughout the year, and those schools are all in different places. So I imagine that catching up on math and literacy is really, really important.
Absolutely. Yeah, and there is federal protection. The McKinney-Vento Act does allow for children to attend the same school throughout the duration of the year. But most parents don't know that, mm-hmm. right? And most of our families are moving 7 or 8 times a year. And like you said, they're being upended. And, you know, if you don't know where you're sleeping tonight, how are you possibly supposed to remember to bring your math homework in tomorrow?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Dr. Lindrum, talk to us more about the goal of this initiative that you helped create. I understand it's called REACH. Can't remember what that acronym stands for, so you can help me out with that, I bet. But talk to us about what the goal was to really get this started and start working with these kids.
Yeah, absolutely. So REACH stands for Reinforcing Health Equity Around Childhood Homelessness. And really our goal is to improve health outcomes in our children in the local area and to connect them with resources to continue this process beyond just camp. So in addition to, you know, the educational piece we talked about and then the mobile health clinic, we've also conducted a needs assessment with the guardians of the children that are attending camp to get a better idea of what resources they could use. So we're identifying resources such as need for food or need for temporary housing shelters. And so we're partnering with social workers to help connect and community health workers to help connect them with some resources that we have in our community. And then specifically, if there's a need for maybe a primary care provider for their child or a dentist, we also provide them with those resources as well. Mm. Some families need more information about food stamps or about obtaining insurance, and we also can provide those types of resources. So our hope is that we can really kind of set a basis for continuing comprehensive care for their children and their families.
How important is the way you approach families when you're having these conversations? Because I know from reporting I've done in the past, there's a lot of fear that can accompany being a parent who is experiencing homelessness or housing insecurity. There's fear that if you say too much to an authority figure, maybe someone will try to take your kids away. I mean, there's a lot of fear and anxiety on the part of adults, not to mention the kids. So talk to us about the approach that you take with these families and kind of building that trust and sort of mutual respect so the families know that you're really trying to help and not trying to separate them from their kids.
Yeah, absolutely. So Upspring, of course, has been a great source of trust for our families. So we've really used them to initiate those conversations about the health screening, about the mobile clinic, and about some of these projects that we've done through the health initiative. And then from there, you know, I think we've really just tried to emphasize that we are interested in bettering your children's health. And I think that's really been something that's helped quite a bit in building trust with these families.
Yeah. Katie, did you have anything you wanted to add about that in terms of building that trust and kind of communicating this is not about causing problems for you, it's about helping you?
Yeah. Well, Liz, thanks for putting it so succinctly. But yeah, we really, working with the parents is something we've trying to get better at over time and doing a little more and more of and really building those relationships. We do have kids that come back to us year over year, families that come to us. We serve kids year round too through our other programs. So, you know, we really do feel like we can be a trusted resource. And as Liz said, we partner with just about everybody to provide these wraparound sort of services.
Yeah. Dr. de Blasio, can you talk to us at all? You know, we've talked about some of the health needs that these children have, how difficult it can be to maintain those doctor and medical relationships for their families. What are some of the lasting health impacts that can come from experiencing homelessness on and off as a child? I mean, there are some really long-term consequences that can happen, aren't there?
Absolutely. And what we have found, I think, for those of us that work in primary care, we have definitely seen a big shift over the past, you know, decade or so. I think when people used to think about, you know, going to see their pediatrician or their primary care physician, it was really focused on, oh, this is your growth. This is, you have an ear infection, you have a rash, you have strep throat. And what we have found more and more is we focus a lot of time and energy on the social determinants of health, really taking a look at how children's environment can impact them, you know, long term. And I think that is one of the things I'm most proud about our residency program is we have really tried to emphasize that, you know, with our residents. And you can see, you know, the great work that Liz and her co-residents have been doing. We have found for a lot of these kids, there's definitely some trauma that goes along with this, and that can really impact really every aspect of a kid's life. So if you grow up, you know, in a situation that is constantly changing where there's just not a lot of security of I'm always, you know, guaranteed that I'm going to have meals every night and I'm, you know, guaranteed that I'm going to sleep in a warm place every night, I think that really can lead to a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety, and just really a lot of long-term trauma. And we see those long-term issues pretty much, you know, every day in primary care. So it's really wonderful to hear about this program and the work that Upspring is doing because it just kind of emphasizes to the community just how important it is for our kids to get the care that they need and also to be connected with the community resources as well. Because for anyone that wants to see kids thrive, it's really taking care of their medical needs and also their social emotional needs as well. And I think this program is a great example of everything, kind of this great collaboration coming together to make sure that our kids are getting the resources that they need to thrive and do well.
Mm. Dr. Lindrum, as a resident, you're at the beginning of your medical career, which I hope is a very long and successful career for you. Is this what you thought being a doctor was all about when you started your journey? I mean, there's a lot more going into this than taking temperatures and listening to people's heartbeat. And, you know, what is this? Is this, how does this compare to what you thought it would be like to be a pediatrician?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think I've always wanted to be a child health advocate, but I didn't really fully understand how much of the social determinants of health, like Dr. de Blasio said, goes into child health. So that piece has really been expanded for me, just seeing patients in residency and realizing that there's so much more to child health than just the temperatures and et cetera, like you mentioned.
Yeah, it's not just about having some sugar-free suckers at the ready, right?
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. What have you all talked, and I know you're very early, you just started this a few days ago, earlier this week, but have you all talked at all about maybe expanding this into, I mean, Upspring does such a wonderful job serving, you know, it's 120 children, I think you said this summer, but all through the school year, there are children falling in and out of homelessness, staying at family shelters. Have you had any discussions about even broadening this out to other locations?
Well, right now the summer camp is in both Northern Kentucky and Cincinnati, but we have had a lot of thoughts about, you know, beyond this summer camp, how can we continue to connect with these children and make sure their resources that they need are being met? And I think that's going to take some more time to really to flesh out. But, you know, our hope is that this can be a program that's sustainable and we can continue to partner with Upspring because they provide a lot of resources for these children throughout the school year and that possibly we can be involved with that as well.
Yeah. And I want to ask you, I know I hope you don't feel like I'm just ganging up on you, Dr. Lindrum, but, you know, I mentioned at the beginning that I think it's roughly 8,000 children experience homelessness each year in Cincinnati, you know, that the numbers can fluctuate day to day, season to season. You're doing this work to help these 120 children. Has it ever felt overwhelming to you to know there are so many more kids out there that you just haven't been able to reach yet?
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, we're reaching a small number compared to how many are in Cincinnati. And I think that's really important why we continue to promote organizations like Upspring, just because I think there's a lot of people in the community that might not know about it, and they have a lot of room to meet a lot of needs for other children in Cincinnati and Northern Kentucky.
Yeah. Katie, what is your hope? What do you hope this adds for the families and the kids who are taking part in the camp to have these extra health screenings this year?
Yeah, one big thing is to help sort of take that fear away. As you said, that distrust that, so our kids know that, you know, doctors are friendly people and they can trust them and not have to be afraid. But, also to really just, you know, make sure, as we talked about, that their whole selves are being looked after. And it's not just math and reading, but it's also their mental health. It's also their vision. It's, you know, can they read the chalkboard, that, you know, the old saying. But I think really just to make sure that we talk a lot about nurturing the whole child at Upspring and ensuring that they have everything they need to succeed in school. And being healthy is a huge part of that.
Mm. Dr. de Blasio, you must be pretty proud of these residents and what they're doing.
Our residents are always amazing. And I think one of the things that I really have appreciated and, you know, just really admire in our residents is they learn, you know, early on that advocacy is a really important part of being a pediatrician. Mm-hmm. And I think we have residents who go into all different fields within pediatrics. But I think one of the things you can count on for all of them is that they are strong advocates for our kids, for our community. And it has been just really heartwarming to see, even, you know, on the mobile care center on Monday, we had two other residents come as well, you know, just to kind of help with the screening. And it's great to just see residents that are excited about providing care for our kids. Yeah. So very, very proud of them, of course.
I've been talking with Katie Jensen, Upspring's Development Marketing Director, Dr. Elizabeth Lendrum, a pediatric chief resident at Cincinnati Children's Hospital Medical Center, and Dr. Nick de Blasio with Cincinnati Children's. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition. I'm Lucy May.